All right, hallelujah. And I actually have a packet to put this in for a change. Okay, thank you, Father, that this recording is going to turn out. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew, or Matiyahu in Hebrew. We're still in verses 40 to 42. And I'm just going to just review a little bit. Heavenly Father, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Father, we thank you for this time that we can study your word, Father, because it's that word that transforms our life. Father, thank you that you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive and eyes to see what you are speaking to us today from your word. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, give us teachable spirits and teachable hearts. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we've been working our way again slowly through the book of Matthew. And we're in verses 40 to 42. And as I was studying it and reading it, it's just like there's, you know, so much started catching my eye that it's turned out to be like two teachings just on a few scriptures. But hallelujah, it's because God wants to tell us and show us something. And this is Yeshua speaking to his Talmudim. He's getting ready to send them out. To go proclaim that the kingdom is here, that Messiah has come, and he's giving them instructions about where they should go and how they're to be received. And if people don't receive them, they're just to shake the dust off their feet and to go forward as a judgment against them. So now in verse 40, he says, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." So again, when Yahweh sends forth a person called to teach, preach the gospel, teach the word, the Torah, to receive them is the same as receiving Yeshua and the Father. To reject them is to reject Yeshua and the Father. And again, first we're talking about, to narrow it down in first century terms, that whoever Yeshua gave a special anointing on these apostles to proclaim this word. That's how we got the Brit Hadashah. If we reject this word that he's given us, it's the same as rejecting Yeshua. Okay? So it starts there. Okay? It starts with the written word of God. 41, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. So what we're going to be talking about today is about receiving the prophet. Okay. Nowadays, everybody likes to call themselves a prophet. Okay. And we're going to look into the word, okay, and see what the word says. Because he says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. So it's a serious thing. But where we need discerning is who is truly a prophet and who's not. Okay. And God's word has already laid that out. Okay. The biblical definition of a prophet of Yahweh, the Hebrew word is Nabi, and that's Strong's H5030. It's a masculine noun meaning a prophet, a spokesman. This meaning is consistently one of prophet and inspired spokesman. Again, Moses was the greatest prophet of the Tanakh and the example for all later prophets. He displayed every aspect of a true prophet, both in his call, his work, his faithfulness, and at times his doubts. Only Abraham is called a prophet before Moses. Moses' prophetic voice spoke to Israel of the past, the present, and the future, as would every major prophet after him. This pattern, or much of it, is found in the case of every true prophet. All true prophets stood in the counsel of God to receive their messages. This word described one who was raised up by God and as such could only proclaim that which the Lord gave him to say. A prophet could not contradict the law of Yahweh or speak from his own mind or his own heart. To do so was to be a false prophet. What a prophet declared had to come true or he was false. And we'll see this laid out time and time again in Scripture. So again, we're in order to receive a prophet's reward, we want to honor those who are truly called to be prophets, okay? And I don't believe that there's, you know, a whole lot of people out there that call themselves prophets are truly prophets of God according to the word, okay? So let's look at Numbers. Let's look at some scriptures. Let's go to Numbers 12, verse 6. Again, Yahweh's already given his definition and his parameters of who a true prophet it is and who a false prophet is. And again, he's talking about regarding his relationship with Moshe. But let's begin with verse 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe because of the Cushite woman who he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?" And the Lord heard it. It's a reminder to us, you know, from your mouth to God's ears. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. And suddenly Yahweh said to Moshe and to Aaron and to Miriam, "You three come out to the tent of the meeting." So the three of them came out. Then Yahweh came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam when they had both come forward. And I think I would be shaking in my boots right now. It's like she probably thought, "Oops." He said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moshe. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of Yahweh. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moshe?" So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. So here we see, instant judgment for coming against someone who was truly called by Yahweh. What happened? That spirit of jealousy rose up. It's like, wait a minute. You know, we've prophesied. It's, you know, like, you know, we're, you know, why should he be the leader? You know, your sibling rivalry here, you know. But God, like, dealt with it right away. Let's go to Deuteronomy 13, 1 to 5. Again, here's number one. Okay, God says if somebody is truly a prophet, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams rises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder comes true concerning what he spoke to you, saying, "Let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow Yahweh your Elohim and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. So test one of a true prophet. If somebody comes in and they start prophesying, but they say, "Well, there's other ways. You don't have to obey the Torah. You know, there's other ways that you can serve God. There's other religions." False prophet. He says, you're not to listen to them. And God allowed these false prophets to come into Israel to test them to see if they would truly obey the word. Okay? Same thing today. There's a lot of people that want their ears tickled by false prophets. They want to hear, you know, they don't want to hear truly what God is saying. They want to hear what they want to hear. And we're going to see an example of that as well. Go to Deuteronomy 18. Beginning with verse 15 to 22. Yahweh your Elohim will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. This is Moshe talking. From your countrymen, and you shall listen to him. Again, this is a prophecy prophesying of Yeshua. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh my Elohim. Let me not see this great fire any more, lest I die. And Yahweh said to me, They have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among your countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And that what Yeshua says, he says, My words aren't my own. I speak whatever the Father tells me to speak. And he shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he will speak in my name, I myself will require of him. But the prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And you may say in your heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is, the thing which Yahweh has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. Say, the criteria is they had to be 100% correct. Okay? There couldn't be off one iota. That's why it took time, okay, to see, you know, we're going to see in the words, is to test all prophecies. Okay? It was like 99% doesn't count either. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. And I think the reason why this is so important, because just because somebody calls themselves something, a prophet or apostle or evangelist or pastor or whatever, there is criteria that they have to walk in. Okay? Because people are being deceived nowadays. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Yahweh came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But Yahweh said to him, Do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares Yahweh. Then Yahweh stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. Okay, a lot of times the prophets had both a negative message and a positive message. Okay, the office of a prophet, you could hear Jeremiah was just, I mean, he was, I'm sure, trembling because he knew what a serious call it was. And if you study the prophets, it was not an easy road. Most of them were killed. Okay, today, nowadays, it's like, well, if you're called a prophet, it's like, ooh, ah. But, you know, if you're truly a prophet of God and you have to speak exactly what God told you. And when you're standing in a group, in front of a group of people, and you don't say what he told you to say, then you're in big trouble. So you better be sure you're hearing from God, because most of the time these prophets said they had a warning first. And this is how, you know, this is how our loving God is. He warns his people. You have to repent and turn back to me, teshuvah. Again, this is a season of teshuvah. Return back what? To my Torah, my teachings and instructions. If you don't, this is what's going to happen. Judgment. Every single time you study the prophets. So there was always a window of opportunity to repent. But most of the time, they didn't repent. because they listened to the prophets that tickled their ears. And we're going to look at a scripture on that instead. Okay? And again, these are prophets of Israel. Okay? Your false prophets are not necessarily on the outside. They're on the inside. Okay? Let's go to Mark 13, 22. And here's Yeshua's warning as well. He says, for false messiahs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. Okay, and he's talking about the end times. He says, false messiahs are going to arise. And if you don't know the word and if you don't know God's criteria for who is a true prophet, you're going to be deceived. Matthew 24, 5. Again, for many will come in my name and say, I am the Messiah, and will mislead many. Let's go to 1 Kings 18:22. Again, this is dealing with the prophet Baal, or Elijah, I'm sorry, and his dealing with Baal. Let's begin with verse 20. So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Okay, so here they're riding the fence. And he says, how long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of Yahweh, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. 450 false prophets. Now let's get two oxen and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh, the God, Yahweh, who answers by fire. He is Yahweh. And all the people then answered said, that's a good idea. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox for yourselves and prepare it first, for there are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Then they took the ox which was given to them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped around the altar which they made. And it came about noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a louder voice, for he is God. Either he is occupied or gone aside or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs it to be awakened. Here you see the boldness of a prophet of God. I mean, here's this one lone prophet, and he's in the face of these 450, you know, pagan prophets. So they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And it came about when midday was past that they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord which had been torn down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. So with the stones he built an altar And in the name of Yahweh, he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offerings and on the wood. Now, when he said pitchers, he wasn't talking about pitchers. Right. He was talking about pitchers. Okay. And he said, do it a second time. And they did. So he was like soaking this wood. And if anybody knows anything, soaked wood does not burn with water. And he said, do it a second time. So they did it a second time. He says, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water flowed around the altar. And he also filled the pitch with the water. I mean, he has such confidence in Yahweh. Okay. And he's going to show them who the true God is and who the true prophet of God is. Then it came about at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all the things at thy word. Answer me, Yahweh, answer me, that this people may know that thou, O God, art Yahweh, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And all the people saw it and they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Hallelujah. Then Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal and do not let one of them escape. So they seized them and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. So every single one of them. And I think there's actually a statue in Israel of the prophet Elijah. Yeah. So again, you know, here he was doing exactly, I mean, how many of us would have the guts to stand before these false prophets, and, you know? But that is here is a true prophet of Yahweh confronting the false prophets, okay? Let's go to 2 Kings 5:8. Actually, this is talking about Nahum. Let's go back to the verse 1 start so we get it in context. Now, Nahum, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected because by him Yahweh had given victory to Aram. The man was a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. And now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would come and cure him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus spoke to the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Aram said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, and now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. And it came about when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. So here he thought, he's setting him up, okay? He's like, he's make like an excuse to make war with him. And it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, then he sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood on the doorway of the house of Elijah. And Elisha sent a message to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Yahweh, his God, and have his hand over the place and cure the leper. You know, he thought, man, he thought he put on a big show for me and, you know, like do all this. He says, no, go dunk yourself 7 times. Go mikvah yourself in the pool, okay? Are not Abana and Parfor, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. You'll notice when a true prophet comes, people get in a rage. People don't want to hear what a true prophet has to say. They get offended, they get mad, and they leave. Right. Then his servant came and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do something, a great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Hallelujah. Again, a true prophet of God. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, to be a to stand in the office of a prophet is different than operating in the gift of prophecy. Okay, yes. The gift of prophecy is to exhort, edify the body of Messiah that you're in, you know, your congregation, to lift each other up. But a prophet is a prophet to the whole body of Messiah. And he is only to say what God tells him to say. And even if people don't like what he has to say. That's why I loved about David Wilkerson. I mean, he didn't care if people liked what he had to say or not. He said, told it like it was, you know. And I believe he never called himself a prophet of God, but, you know.
He just scared me to death.
Yeah.
Really, when I would read his book on the trumpet, that one about trumpet and that another one. But, you know, always at the end, there was always that love and compassion of God. But he just come out really boldly with things against people are doing against God, you know?
Right.
Actually, I don't think it's 1 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Let me see. No, it's not 2 Corinthians. It is. We'll skip that one for now because it's not the one. That's not the one I want. I must have been looking at something else. Okay, go to Ephesians 2:20. Just cross that one off. Verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of Yahweh's household. Again, this is talking about being grafted into Israel. You're no longer a stranger or alien. Stranger and alien was somebody who was outside Israel. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Yeshua HaMashiach himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in Yahweh, in whom you are now being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So again, the foundation is that of the apostles. I'm talking about the apostles in this word, okay, not the everybody who calls themselves, but the apostles that God used to write this word, and the prophets in this word. Okay, they are the foundation. Yeshua is the chief cornerstone. They are the examples that we are to look to, okay? And again, go to Matthew 7:16. What we have to look to, okay, we have to look when somebody's teaching us, or somebody, again, is in the fivefold ministry office, is something that, again, the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist, they're called outside to the whole body of Messiah. They travel around, but the pastor or shepherd and rabbi is called to the flock. They're the shepherds of the flock, okay? But what we need to see is, where's the fruit? Okay, there's a book I've been reading, which is really a good book, because, you know, I used to subscribe to the Elijah List. Let me tell you, most of the stuff on the Elijah List is baloney. And I would read it, and I'd think, oh, wow, you know, then something
you
in my spirit.
And I'd read it, and I'd be shaking my head.
And then something, you know, in my spirit was just like, you know, something's not, you know, and I'm going to read you some excerpts from this book. But, and then when, you know, we see again, this is a prophetic move of God now, what God is bringing. I'm thinking, well, these people are, quote, prophets. Why aren't they seeing this move of God that is happening right under their nose? Okay? You know, that's the one thing that started making me, you know, like, think about, you know, what they were saying. Okay? Matthew 7, 16 and 17. And again, you know, Yahweh has already set up that a true prophet of God is going to lead you back into the Word, back into repentance, and tell you you need to obey His Torah, His teachings and instructions. And that hasn't changed.
If they don't do this, you're supposed to take them outside of the camp and stone them to death.
Right. Well, that's if when Israel were not. That's when right. Israel was a right. theocracy. Right. Right. But it's still a very serious thing with Yahweh. Okay. That yes,
right.
16 and 17. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you shall know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That word lawlessness is one who does not walk in obedience to his Torah, his teachings and instructions. Okay? Hard words, but that's Yeshua saying them.
I saw one,
okay, let's go on.
That said instead of lawlessness, it said witchcraft.
Well, it's really Torahlessness.
Right,
it's, yeah.
Right, but that's what one says.
So what about, again, we're talking about true and false prophets. Two things, you know, people are easily led astray. Number one is Nostradamus. Was Nostradamus a true prophet of God according to the scriptures?
No.
No. To be a true prophet of God according to the scriptures, number one, he had to be a follower of God. Okay, and 100% he had to come true. You know, Satan can manipulate people. You know, we think that, you know, he's stupid. Don't you think he can put thoughts into people's minds to say, you know, thus and thus is going to happen, and then down the road put the thought into that other person's mind just to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy? He is not stupid, okay? Again, did some of his predictions come true? Yeah, but let me tell you, I've got an article on it, and it's real gray and shaky about some of his stuff, okay? Nostradamus, okay? But the fact is, he's a false prophet,
right,
according to scriptures. That's our ruler right here, rule of thumb. If they don't fit that, because Yeshua says many are going to come and be deceived, okay?
Right.
What about the Mayan calendar? Again, they're predicting 2012, okay? And I'll make a copy of this article for you. The Mayans had many calendars. The 2012, the Mayans from Mexico, Mayan Indians, okay? They're a very advanced culture. They had a lot of accurate calendars, but they had many calendars. The 2012 is just one of them, and they never predicted the end of the world. They just ended, that was the end of that particular calendar, okay? And number one, they were pagans. They weren't worshipers of God. I'm sorry. What does God say? You don't have to fear what they say.
That's right.
You know, if they come and they say thus and thus is going to happen, you don't have to fear them because they're false prophets.
Right.
You know, God is like, he'll like, okay, you know, he'll let them. Why? Because he's looking for people that are going
to
believe the truth.
He
allows false prophets, okay?
Do human sacrifice.
Right. Oh, yeah. They used to do, yeah. Ezekiel 30. Right. It's not. Well, people think, oh, well, they predicted this and predicted that. That is not the criteria for a true prophet.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of fortune tellers that'll tell you, you know, a lot of things from your past. Who do you think they're getting that info from? Demons, familiar spirits. Okay? Not from Yahweh. Again, to deceive people so that people, instead of looking to God for the answer, they look to these, you know, fortune tellers, horoscopes, and all this other garbage. And again, Yeshua says, okay, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, but we better know who a true prophet is and who a false prophet is, okay? Ezekiel 33:44. Nope, that's not right. It's a typo. No, it was Ezekiel, but I typed it, and that's what happens when I type things fast. Oh, well, actually, it's 33:33. It's 33:33. Let's see. Let me go up a little bit. And this is talking about Jerusalem's capture.
21st.
And he's prophesying the captivity of Jerusalem. 31, they come to you as people come and sit there as my people and hear your words, but they do not do them, for they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth. Their heart goes after their gain. And again, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as surely as it will, they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. See, a lot of times Israel didn't even know they had a prophet in their midst. Mm-hmm. You know, and they would prophesy, and I'm going to show you something in Jeremiah that, you know, exact situation, you had a true prophet and you had a false prophet. Okay? They didn't even know. He says, you may not realize now, but when all these things come to pass, you're going to know the true prophet was in your midst. Mm-hmm. When you have gone into captivity, because they didn't want to believe it. Okay, we see this. Go to Jeremiah 28. And a lot of times, God had the prophets do some strange things. Jeremiah was walking around with a yoke around his neck as a picture of what was going to happen to Israel. In fact, we're going to read all of 28 because this is such a powerful chapter regarding true and false prophets. Now, it came about in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying. So here, this Hananiah was the son of a prophet. Okay? So thus says, and here he's saying, thus says the Lord of hosts of God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I'm going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house with Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from the place and carried to Babylon. Let's go back. Go back to chapter 27. Because I want to read you what God told Jeremiah, and then this will make more sense what this other prophet is trying to say. Go to Jeremiah 27, beginning with verse 6. And now I have given all these lands into the, this is Yahweh speaking, into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Again, remember Daniel's vision? Well, this was the part of the Daniel's vision. My servant, and I have given him also the wild animals of the field to serve him, and all the nations shall serve him, and his son and his grandson, until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings will make him their servant. And it will be that the nation or the kingdom which will not serve him, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, declares Yahweh, for I have destroyed it by his hand. So here Yahweh, Nebuchadnezzar was God's vessel in a negative way to bring, you know, judgment and correction on Israel. But as for you, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. Okay, now these are false prophets who Yahweh says are going to come and totally contradict what God said he was going to do. For they prophesy a lie to you in order to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out and you will perish. But the nation which will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let remain on its land, declares the Lord, and they will till it and dwell in it. And I spoke words like all of these to Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Now you think the king wanted to hear that? No. It wasn't, you know, something the king wanted to hear. He rather would have said, thus says the Lord, you're going to defeat Babylon and, you know, you're going to, you know, take him captive. It's like, no, God says, it's been ordained for you to go into captivity. You are to submit yourself to this king and it'll be well with you. But you know what? You're getting out of the land and you're going to be there for 70 years. Now let's go to 28. So here is Hananiah coming. Also, again, a son of a prophet. And he's prophesying exactly the opposite of what Jeremiah said. Mm-hmm. A prophet of Israel, okay? Thus says the Lord, verse 2, of hosts of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. So here he's saying, thus says the Lord, okay? Just because somebody says, thus says the Lord, doesn't mean that the Lord was telling them to say it. Within 2 years, I'm going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I'm going to bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Joachim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people who were standing in the house of Yahweh. So here now is Jeremiah confronting this other prophet. Okay, we say, okay, we're going to see who the real prophet is, okay? And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord confirm the words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Yet hear now this word which I am about to speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who were before me and before you from ancient times prophesied against many lands and against many kingdoms of war and of calamity and of pestilence. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then that prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke it. So here, you know, he's like wants to really put it, well, I'll show you who the true prophet is, takes this wooden yoke, because the yoke was a symbol of Israel being under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. So he takes the yoke, he breaks it, and say, you know, in other words, no, that's not going to happen, okay? I mean, you can just see the showdown going on here. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so will I break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. Then the prophet Jeremiah went his way. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken off the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, now here, so Jeremiah, you know, he pretty much humiliated Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says he just walked away because, you know what, he knew what was going to happen. Yeah. Now here's Yahweh speaking to Jeremiah. Go and speak to Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have also given the beasts of the field. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, says the Lord, behold, I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. Whoa. This year you are going to die because you have counseled rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year in the 7th month. Mm-hmm. Serious business. We see this going on today. We see a lot of false prophets. So I'm going to read you some things from this book, okay? So what are the distinguishing marks of a false prophet? First, false prophets make false predictions. Okay? False prophets have false doctrine. Okay? Their doctrine, again, is, you know, they have another revelation. They have an additional that's beyond the Word of God. Okay? False prophets hate to be tested. I'm sorry, if you're a true prophet of God, you have to be tested. They don't want to be tested. It's like, how dare you test me? Okay, false prophets are men-centered. They're looking to please men, mm-hmm. not God. Because you know what? A true prophet of God is not going to always please men. They're going to be like mostly hated, okay? False prophets can be accurate in their signs, but that doesn't make them a true prophet. Let me just read you some things from this. Distinguishing marks of a false prophet. And these are some people that are well known, and they call themselves prophets. Okay? They're not walking in Torah. They're what they call the new prophets. Okay? I just want to find this one thing here. Okay, this was prophesied in 1993 by Paul Kane and Rick Joyner. We should not judge Bill Clinton solely by how he appears at this time. We cannot continue to get discernment from the news media. The Bill Clinton that the Lord showed Paul Kane in the dream is different from the media's portrayal of him. We must start to see people as the Lord sees them. Well, you know, some things, oh, that sounds good. Yeah, sounds good. Bill Clinton won, and so can we. The reason Paul Kane was shown five headlines in the dream is because Bill Clinton represents grace from God, not judgment. Is that the truth? No.
But it sounds good.
It sounds good, right. Okay. Let me look. The new prophets don't claim to merely give prophecies. Rather, they are moving in a prophetic anointing. They have conversations with angels, God, demons. They dream interactive dreams. They make proclamations in the name of the Lord, and they have been to heaven. They make pronouncements to the whole church. In reality, they consider themselves prophets in the sense of Isaiah and Jeremiah, which is fine as long as they are willing to submit to the same tests for the church's sake. Okay, so if you're going to call yourself a prophet, then you have to submit to God's criteria of a prophet.
Who's talking to an angel?
Okay. Again, well, a lot of your false religions, okay? Again, he points out that, too, that, you know, the Mormons had signs and wonders. And, you know, they saw angels. Again, right. I mean, there's a lot of your false religions. You know, Satan compares an angel of light.
Exactly.
You know? And they accepted another word contrary to this word. Mormons have their own Book of Mormon. Okay, Jehovah's Witness have their additional book. All these cults have an additional book that they put more store in than the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What about who was talking recently with an angel?
I just want to read this.
Todd Bentley?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was, I mean, red flags.
That? He used to talk with an angel.
And this is Yeshua. Let's remember we're recording this, okay?
Uh-oh.
False prophet. Jim, you can edit it.
He can't do anything about that.
Yes, he can. He can edit it. You can't edit it from the tape? Right. That's what I'm talking about. False prophets are men-centered. Woe to you when men... This is Yeshua speaking. Woe to you when men speak well of you. For as did their fathers to the false prophets. Mm-hmm. False prophets are always spoken well of. Okay? Not a true prophet of God. False prophets are about man. Here again, this is from an article by Jewel Vandermeer, and she was writing about some of these prophets. She goes, positive prophecies also come out on the TBN program with Kim Clement and Matt Crouch. Kim said he was tired of so-called prophets saying that this country was going to be judged. So, I mean, you better not say judgment's coming. I guess I'm a false prophet. He didn't think this country would be judged because they send out so many missionaries. Instead, he believed that tremendous blessing was coming to America. Now, this was in 1993. In fact, he stated that the body of Messiah is becoming very aggressive, and songs become militant, and the church is getting ready to fight. In fact, if you prophesy doom and gloom, you are not going to be part of what God is going to do. He was prophesying that there is going to be an incredible breakthrough and revival in 20 months. That was in 1993.
Right. So the 20 months would have
I mean, there's breakthrough coming, but it's like,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
But again, okay, Kim Clement is a man widely acclaimed as a prophet. A full-page ad in Charisma Magazine heralded his meetings in Detroit with the announcement, "The light has come to Detroit." There's only one light, and that's Messiah. And a quote from one of his prophecies. Who wouldn't want incredible blessings to come upon America? Peter and Jude both warned of those who would come along saying great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Again, we're to judge prophecies. Okay.
And what has happened, though? Just the opposite.
Right. Well, there, you know, again, it's... And again, a true prophet hates to be tested. Hananiah, we see that example again in Jeremiah 28. I mean, this is a really strong example of a true and a false prophet. But, I mean, this is a really good book, Beware of the New Prophets, because he really, you know, talks about how much deception there is there. Yeah, the gift of prophecy is real, you know, but it has to be discerned, and prophets have to be tested. Ministers have to be, you know, what they're saying, whatever we're saying, he has to be tested according to the Word of God. If somebody comes to you and says, oh, I've got a new revelation, you can forget about this. God's given me a new revelation. You know, it's like, even, you know, Kenneth Hagin, one time I heard him say, oh, well, you know, the Psalms, that was the Old Testament. God wants you to write new Psalms. You know, it's like, wait a minute, the Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right, if you don't know the Word. We need to know what the Word says, okay? Let me just read something from Tib Heg's book of Matthew. Again, this is talking about, he's talking about, again, accepting the true, you know, ministers that Yahweh has sent. There is therefore only one option for those who have accepted Yeshua as Israel's true Messiah. We must also accept the message of his Shlachim, which is referring to the apostles that he used to write the New Testament. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet describes the manner in which leaders within the messianic communities are also to be received. The difference, however, is notable. They are not to be received with the authority of the apostles, whose words are to be received as equal in authority to Yeshua's words. Rather, they are to be received within the context of their position as either a prophet or a tzaddik, righteous man. Thus, a prophet is to be received as a prophet and therefore judged by the criteria of a prophet. However, to receive an approved prophet is to receive a prophet's reward. The office of a prophet was clearly recognized in the pre-destruction communities of the way. Thus, Paul writes that apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers were given as gifts to Yeshua's ecclesia. Likewise, Paul lays down specific halakha for how prophets were to speak during the community gatherings and how their words were to be judged and received by the people in attendance. If, quote, prophet here refers to a recognized position of leadership within the messianic community, how are we to understand righteous man? In the rabbinic literature, the tzaddik is understood to be a man of years who has demonstrated both his ability to know and expound the Torah and halakha, as well, halakha means the way that you are to walk out the word, as well as whose life is known to be pious or virtuous. Is it possible, then, that the tzaddik was in some equivalence to an elder describing the leading men of the community who, because of their wisdom and piety, formed the ruling body of judges for the community? It is also possible that we are dealing here with synonymous parallelism, which would then suggest that the prophet and righteous man are two designations for the same person. But in my opinion, it seems more natural to find two different positions of leadership within Matthew's commentary, even if these titles are more general than specific. So what is the reward that is offered in each case? It would seem likely that the reward is the service of each party. The prophet speaks for the revelation of God, and those who receive him are therefore enlightened. The righteous man, both by his words and example, offers wisdom and insight that brings the one who receives him closer to God. The reward for extending the help to the little ones is an act itself, for it is in such service that the next generation of the community is well established. Thus, it is explicitly stated by Yeshua in chapter 18, and whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who to believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. See, you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you, their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And these are some scriptures dealing with different rewards. Let's go to Numbers. We see again that example in 2 Kings 4 to 8:17, when the woman when the prophet came in town, and she, let's go there, prophet, you can read some of these yourself, but let's go to 2 Kings. Chapter 4. Actually, there's a couple different stories here. You got the widow's oil, and you have the Shunammite woman. We're going to talk about the Shunammite woman. Now, there came a day when Elijah passed over to Shunem. And there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, she turned there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold, I perceive this man as a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please let us make a little walled-up chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. And it shall be when he comes to us that he can turn in here." So already there, you know, before I think she even knew he was a prophet, you know, she was offering hospitality to him. And then he kept on coming by, and she started perceiving, you know what, this is a prophet of God. Let's set up a room for him so he'll not only have a place to eat, but he'll have a place to sleep as well. One day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken to for the king? Spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army?' And she answered, 'I live among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is it to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Truly, she has no son, and her husband is old.' And he said, 'Call her.' When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, 'At this season, next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'Oh, no, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant.' And the woman conceived and bore a son that season, the next year, as Elijah had said to her." And I think that's a prophet's reward, isn't it? Being, to have a child when it was impossible for you to have a child, but because she honored the man of God, God blessed her with a child. And not only that, when the child died, he brought the child back to life again, you know, because she confronted him and says, "You know, you told me to have a child and now he's gone," you know, but God brought him back. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, let's see. I think.
Wasn't there a story? I know there is, but I can't think where it was. Anna. I don't know if I got it even right, but there was a prophet that God told to do something, and another prophet comes along and said for him not to do it. And because this other one was a prophet, he obeyed this other prophet instead of God or something. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened, but it, and so that, in other words, we are to really listen to God and not to other people.
Right. Again, we're living in a day where there's a lot of people that, you know, again, people are looking at people instead of what the Word of God. And they're being impressed by, you know, maybe some things. And they'll even, like, there's some of them, they'll even use, you know, some of the Jewish things. They'll use the shofar and they'll use the, you know, the seasons. You know, this is a lifestyle. This isn't a prop. You know, it's like the shofar isn't some prop you use, you know. It's like, right, the tallit is not a prop.
Right.
You know, but they're not, it's a lifestyle. You know, it's like it's a lifestyle living in obedience to his word. And Yeshua says, again, if you accept those that I have truly sent to you according to the criteria that the word has set up, you will receive that same reward. Okay? So when Yahweh sends, when he, you know, your apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and I like really referring to him as like shepherd and rabbi, okay, when they're truly teaching you the word of Yahweh, right, you're to accept it, okay? Yet, you see this place, and let me tell you something, and I'm not saying this to be egotistical. No. There's more meat coming out of this place than most churches in this, here in the
That's
city
right.
of Chicago.
Right,
yet, look how many people showed up for Shabbat.
Look how many people on TV.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know that Rick Jones?
Mm-hmm.
He was knighted. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah, I heard something about that.
And then he
he wrote in his own words on his website. I went on there and got the letter. He was explaining why he was become knighted. And I thought, oh, my God.
By the Queen of England.
He belonged to the...
He went over there.
They accept him over there. Yeah, they accept him over there. So. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Again, it's like, I'm not judging their hearts, but I have to judge what the Word of God says.
Right, by the word.
Are they proclaiming Torah? Are they are everything is like, oh, this judgment's not going to happen. There's going to be, they were prophesying a great revival in California and all this stuff. It's like, this was years ago, and stuff that this, I'm sorry, but I'm seeing there's been more catastrophes this past year than any year before, Right, and God brings judgment to bring people to repentance.
Right.
Okay.
I gave you the book by this gentleman, and anyway, he was into worship. He took one scripture from the Old Testament about being prostrate for worship. That was the only way to worship God. And at first, I really fell hook, line, and sinker because he blew the shofar. He's a Jewish man. He wore the tallit around his neck, and one day he said, the reason I wear this tallit is because I'm Jewish. He didn't say anything else about what the tallit meant or anything.
Right.
But anyway, then I was feeling in my spirit something is wrong here. And then I heard him say, the feast days, I don't pay any attention to them. He says, it's just this is what Yahweh wants us to do, lay on our face in his presence.
Well, we've heard people say feast days are only for the Jews.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But again, it's, we can't be, it doesn't matter, people are so easily swayed by things, by, signs and wonders.
Yeah.
The word says, if they're not walking, if they're telling you that this Torah doesn't apply to you anymore, I'm sorry, they're a false prophet according to the word of God, and you don't have to fear what they say. Yeah, we want to see restoration. We want to see revival. But my question was, if these people were true prophets of God, why don't they see this move of God that is happening now, where people who are really hungry for God are returning back to the Torah, back to His truth, and what we have in Messiah, and, right. I mean, if you are a prophet of God, you God shows you what's to come, right? Well, then
the prophets that call themselves,
and what people don't realize is they can be deceived, and they think they're hearing from God, and they're not.
Well, they say one little thing might be true, like Clem Kamara.
Right.
He said that the next president would be a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And so they believe everything he says, just because Obama made it.
But the prophet.
Eventually that would happen anyway. It's like, sooner or later, But right.
President will be a woman.
Right.
Now,
Right.
Maybe that will happen. Maybe it won't, but if it did.